Chapter 13. It was 5 or 6 months after this, before they heard any more of the savages, in which time our men were in hopes they had either forgot their former bad luck, or given over hopes of better, when, on a sudden, they were invaded with a most formidable fleet of no less than 8 and 20 canoes, full of savages, armed with bows and arrows, great clubs, wooden swords, and such like engines of war. And they brought such numbers with them, that, in short, it put all our people into the utmost consternation. As they came on shore in the evening, and at the easternmost side of the island, our men had that night, to consult and consider what to do. In the first place, knowing that their being entirely concealed was their only safety before, and would be much more so now, while the number of their enemies would be so great, they resolved, first of all, to take down the huts which were built for the two Englishmen, and drive away their goats to the old cave, because they supposed the savages would go directly thither, as soon as it was day, to play the old game over again, though they did not now land within 2 leagues of it. In the next place, they drove away all the flocks of goats they had at the old bower, as I called it, which belonged to the Spaniards, and, in short, left as little appearance of inhabitants anywhere as was possible, and the next morning early they posted themselves, with all their force, at the plantation of the two men, to wait for their coming. As they guessed, so it happened. These new invaders, leaving their canoes at the east end of the island, came ranging along the shore, directly towards the place, to the number of 250, as near as our men could judge. Our army was but small indeed, but, that which was worse, they had not arms for all their number. The whole account, it seems, stood thus. First, as to men, 17 Spaniards, 5 Englishmen, old Friday, the 3 slaves taken with the women, who proved very faithful, and 3 other slaves, who lived with the Spaniards. To arm these, they had 11 muskets, 5 pistols, 3 fowling pieces, 5 muskets or fowling pieces which were taken by me from the mutinous seamen whom I reduced, 2 swords, and 3 old halberds. To their slaves they did not give either musket or fusee, but they had each a halberd, or a long staff, like a quarter staff, with a great spike of iron fastened into each end of it, and by his side a hatchet. Also every one of our men had a hatchet. 2 of the women could not be prevailed upon, but they would come into the fight, and they had bows and arrows, which the Spaniards had taken from the savages, when the first action happened, which I have spoken of, where the Indians fought with one another, and the women had hatchets too. The chief Spaniard, whom I described so often, commanded the whole, and Will Atkins, who, though a dreadful fellow for wickedness, was a most daring, bold fellow, commanded under him. The savages came forward like lions, and our men, which was the worst of their fate, had no advantage in their situation. Only that Will Atkins, who now proved a most useful fellow, with 6 men, was planted just behind a small thicket of bushes as an advanced guard, with orders to let the first of them pass by, and then fire into the middle of them, and as soon as he had fired, to make his retreat as nimbly as he could round a part of the wood, and so come in behind the Spaniards, where they stood, having a thicket of trees before them. When the savages came on, they ran straggling about every way in heaps, out of all manner of order, and Will Atkins let about 50 of them pass by him. Then seeing the rest come in a very thick throng, he orders 3 of his men to fire, having loaded their muskets with 6 or 7 bullets apiece, about as big as large pistol bullets. How many they killed or wounded they knew not, but the consternation and surprise was inexpressible among the savages. They were frightened to the last degree to hear such a dreadful noise, and see their men killed, and others hurt, but see nobody that did it. When, in the middle of their fright, Will Atkins and his other 3 let fly again among the thickest of them, and in less than a minute the first 3, being loaded again, gave them a third volley. had Will Atkins and his men retired immediately, as soon as they had fired, as they were ordered to do, or had the rest of the body, Bennett and two have poured in their shot continually, the savages had been effectually routed. For the terror that was among them came principally from this, that they were killed by the gods with thunder and lightning, and could see nobody that hurt them. But Will Atkins, staying to load again, discovered the cheat. Some of the savages who were at a distance spying them, came upon them behind, and though Atkins and his men fired at them also, two or three times, and killed above 20, retiring as fast as they could, yet they wounded Atkins himself, and killed one of his fellow Englishmen with their arrows, as they did afterwards one Spaniard, and one of the Indian slaves who came with the women. This slave was a most gallant fellow, and fought most desperately, killing five of them with his own hand, having no weapon, but one of the armed staves and a hatchet. Our men being thus hard laid at, Atkins wounded, and two other men killed, retreated to a rising ground in the wood, and the Spaniards, after firing three volleys upon them, retreated also, for their number was so great, and they were so desperate, that though above 50 of them were killed, and more than as many wounded, yet they came on in the teeth of our men, fearless of danger, and shot their arrows like a cloud. And it was observed, that their wounded men, who were not quite disabled, were made outrageous by their wounds, and fought like madmen. When our men retreated, they left the Spaniard and the Englishman, that were killed behind them. And the savages, when they came up to them, killed them over again in a wretched manner, breaking their arms, legs, and heads, with their clubs and wooden swords, like true savages. But finding our men were gone, they did not seem inclined to pursue them, but drew themselves up in a ring, which is, it seems, their custom, and shouted twice, in token of their victory, after which, they had the mortification to see several of their wounded men fall, dying with the mere loss of blood. The Spaniard governor having drawn his little body up together upon the rising ground, Atkins, though he was wounded, would have had them march and charge again all together at once. But the Spaniard replied, "Señor Atkins, you see how their wounded men fight. Let them alone till morning. All the wounded men will be stiff, and sore with their wounds, and faint with the loss of blood, and so we shall have the fewer to engage." This advice was good. But Will Atkins replied merrily, "That is true, Señor, and so shall I too, and that is the reason I would go on while I am warm." "Well, Señor Atkins," says the Spaniard, "you have behaved gallantly, and done your part. We will fight for you, if you cannot come on, but I think it best to stay till morning." So they waited. But as it was a clear moonlight night, and they found the savages in great disorder about their dead and wounded men, and a great noise and hurry among them where they lay, they afterwards resolved to fall upon them in the night, especially if they could come to give them but one volley, before they were discovered, which they had a fair opportunity to do. For one of the Englishmen in whose quarter it was where the fight began, led them round between the woods and the seaside westward, and then turning short south, they came so near where the thickest of them lay, that before they were seen or heard eight of them fired in among them, and did dreadful execution upon them. In half a minute more eight others fired after them, pouring in their small shot in such a quantity, that abundance were killed and wounded. And all this, while they were not able to see who hurt them, or which way to fly. The Spaniards charged again with the utmost expedition, and then divided themselves into three bodies, and resolved to fall in among them all together. They had in each body eight persons, that is to say, 22 men and the two women, who, by the way, fought desperately. They divided the firearms equally in each party, as well as the halberds and staves. They would have had the women kept back, but they said they were resolved to die with their husbands. Having thus formed their little army, they marched out from among the trees, and came up to the teeth of the enemy, shouting, and hallooing as loud as they could. The savages stood all together, but were in the utmost confusion, hearing the noise of our men shouting from three quarters together. They would have fought if they had seen us. For as soon as we came near enough to be seen, some arrows were shot, and poor old Friday was wounded, though not dangerously. But our men gave them no time, but running up to them, fired among them three ways, and then fell in with the butt ends of their muskets, their swords, armed staves, and hatchets, and laid about them so well that, in a word, they set up a dismal screaming and howling, flying to save their lives which way soever they could. Our men were tired with the execution, and killed or mortally wounded in the two fights about 180 of them. The rest, being frightened out of their wits, scoured through the woods, and over the hills, with all the speed that fear and nimble feet could help them to. And as we did not trouble ourselves much to pursue them, they got all together to the seaside, where they landed, and where their canoes lay. But their disaster was not at an end yet, for it blew a terrible storm of wind that evening from the sea, so that it was impossible for them to go off. Nay, the storm continuing all night, when the tide came up, their canoes were most of them driven by the surge of the sea so high upon the shore that it required infinite toil to get them off, and some of them were even dashed to pieces against the beach. Our men, though glad of their victory, yet got little rest that night, but having refreshed themselves as well as they could, they resolved to march to that part of the island where the savages were fled, and see what posture they were in. This necessarily led them over the place where the fight had been, and where they found several of the poor creatures not quite dead, and yet past recovering life, a sight disagreeable enough to generous minds, for a truly great man, though obliged by the law of battle to destroy his enemy, takes no delight in his misery. However, there was no need to give any orders in this case, for their own savages, who were their servants, dispatched these poor creatures with their hatchets. At length they came in view of the place where the more miserable remains of the savages' army lay, where there appeared about 100 still. Their posture was generally sitting upon the ground, with their knees up towards their mouth, and the head put between the two hands, leaning down upon the knees. When our men came within two musket shots of them, the Spaniard governor ordered two muskets to be fired without ball, to alarm them. This he did, that by their countenance he might know what to expect, whether they were still in heart to fight, or were so heartily beaten as to be discouraged, and so he might manage accordingly. This stratagem took. For as soon as the savages heard the first gun, and saw the flash of the second, they started up upon their feet in the greatest consternation imaginable, and as our men advanced swiftly towards them, they all ran screaming and yelling away, with a kind of howling noise, which our men did not understand, and had never heard before, and thus they ran up the hills into the country. At first our men had much rather the weather had been calm, and they had all gone away to sea. But they did not then consider that this might probably have been the occasion of their coming again in such multitudes as not to be resisted, or, at least, to come so many and so often as would quite desolate the island and starve them. Will Atkins, therefore, who notwithstanding his wound kept always with them, proved the best counselor in this case. His advice was to take the advantage that offered, and step in between them and their boats, and so deprive them of the capacity of ever returning any more to plague the island. They consulted long about this, and some were against it for fear of making the wretches fly to the woods and live there desperate, and so they should have them to hunt like wild beasts, be afraid to stir out about their business, and have their plantations continually rifled, all their tame goats destroyed, and, in short, be reduced to a life of continual distress. Will Atkins told them they had better have to do with 100 men than with 100 nations, that, as they must destroy their boats, so they must destroy the men, or be all of them destroyed themselves. In a word, he showed them the necessity of it so plainly that they all came into it, so they went to work immediately with the boats, and getting some dry wood together from a dead tree, they tried to set some of them on fire, but they were so wet that they would not burn, However, the fire so burned the upper part that it soon made them unfit for use at sea. When the Indians saw what they were about, some of them came running out of the woods, and coming as near as they could to our men, kneeled down and cried, Oa, Oa, Warmakoa, and some other words of their language, which none of the others understood anything of. But as they made pitiful gestures and strange noises, it was easy to understand they begged to have their boats spared, and that they would be gone, and never come there again. But our men were now satisfied that they had no way to preserve themselves, or to save their colony, but effectually to prevent any of these people from ever going home again. Depending upon this, that if even so much as one of them got back into their country to tell the story, the colony was undone. So that, letting them know that they should not have any mercy, they fell to work with their canoes, and destroyed every one that the storm had not destroyed before, at the sight of which, the savages raised a hideous cry in the woods, which our people heard plain enough, after which they ran about the island like distracted men, so that, in a word, our men did not really know what at first to do with them. Nor did the Spaniards, with all their prudence, consider that while they made those people thus desperate, they ought to have kept a good guard at the same time upon their plantations. For though it is true they had driven away their cattle, and the Indians did not find out their main retreat, I mean my old castle at the hill, nor the cave in the valley, yet they found out my plantation at the bower, and pulled it all to pieces, and all the fences and planting about it, trod all the corn underfoot, tore up the vines and grapes, being just then almost ripe, and did our men inestimable damage, though to themselves not one farthing's worth of service. Though our men were able to fight them upon all occasions, yet they were in no condition to pursue them, or hunt them up and down. For as they were too nimble of foot for our people, when they found them single, so our men durst not go abroad single, for fear of being surrounded with their numbers. The best was they had no weapons, for though they had bows, they had no arrows left, nor any materials to make any, nor had they any edge tool among them. The extremity and distress they were reduced to was great, and indeed deplorable, but, at the same time, our men were also brought to very bad circumstances by them, for though their retreats were preserved, yet their provision was destroyed, and their harvest spoiled, and what to do, or which way to turn themselves, they knew not. The only refuge they had now was the stock of cattle they had in the valley by the cave, and some little corn which grew there, and the plantation of the three Englishmen. Will Atkins and his comrades were now reduced to two, one of them being killed by an arrow, which struck him on the side of his head, just under the temple, so that he never spoke more, and it was very remarkable, that this was the same barbarous fellow that cut the poor savage slave with his hatchet, and who afterwards intended to have murdered the Spaniards. I looked upon their case, to have been worse at this time than mine was at any time, after I first discovered the grains of barley and rice, and got into the manner of planting and raising my corn, and my tame cattle. For now they had, as I may say, 100 wolves upon the island, which would devour everything they could come at, yet could be hardly come at themselves. When they saw what their circumstances were, the first thing they concluded was, that they would, if possible, drive the savages up to the farther part of the island, southwest, that if any more came on shore they might not find one another. Then, that they would daily hunt and harass them, and kill as many of them as they could come at, till they had reduced their number, and if they could at last tame them, and bring them to anything, they would give them corn, and teach them how to plant, and live upon their daily labor. In order to do this, they so followed them, and so terrified them with their guns, that in a few days, if any of them fired a gun at an Indian, if he did not hit him, yet he would fall down for fear. So dreadfully frightened were they, that they kept. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.